I want you all to start out by looking out that window. See how beautiful day it is out there? How gorgeous it is out there? Jerry, you gave me an idea this morning. You don't even realize it. So I want to present a little bit of what we talked about this morning before I start my lesson to encourage you to come join us for Sunday school. In Luke chapter 10, this is from this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 tells us, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into the field." This congregation needs to pray for those more workers, because you look out there, the harvest is ready and it's ripe, and we need more workers out there to do His will. The other little tidbit I want to leave you from this morning, we're all in the same boat. There's nobody in here who is perfect, not for me or the elders or anybody else. We're all in need of the Lord. We don't come here because we're perfect. We all come here because we're sick and we're sinners, and we all need Jesus. So I encourage you, if you're able, to come join us on Sunday mornings, because we are now halfway through our series of lessons after this one of the life of Christ. And so we'll be soon talking about that last week of Christ's life. But this morning, I want to take from Lessons chapter 12 out of your books. And if you're visitors, we have extra books. So if you want a book to take home, we got extra books for you to study. Because of what we're doing here, we're talking about the love story of Christ. And you are in that story. Each and every one of us is in that story. It's a love story about us. I didn't know a book was written about me, but now I know. There's a love story that has my name in it. As Jerry was talking about earlier this morning, he was talking about when Christ was on the cross, he was thinking about your name. Because he was coming after you this morning. And it's a love story like no other. So this morning, I want you to think about, what's it mean to be a disciple of Christ? What's it really mean? If you want to be a disciple, my disciple, he tells us in Luke chapter 14, and this is where we're going to do our lesson this morning. There's a cost of being Jesus' disciple. Have you really thought about that cost? We talked about it a little bit this morning, but have you really thought about what it costs to become a disciple of Christ? It's not an easy walk, because we're told, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You know, a cross we talked about many times is something that we die on. That's what it's designed for, and that's the purpose of it, is for us to die on it. So it's not going to be an easy road. Have you thought about that? And I like how Luke 14:20 says, "to our own cross." We each have a cross to bear that belongs to us. You know, when Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, He didn't deserve that cross. He did it to save each and every one of us. The cross we bear, we deserve that cross. But Christ bore so much more, so we don't have to. But we can't look at this any other way than we deserve to be on that cross, not Christ. So being a disciple of Christ, we've got to realize and understand that there's a cost that comes behind it. You know, Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30 tells us this: "For which of you desires to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" You got to understand the cost. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, people see us as Christians, and they know that we don't have our house together. And Christ can't dwell in the house, your house, unless it's built. And we got to understand what it takes to be a Christian. In other words, we can't come in here to this foundation and we come every Sunday morning and walk out there and expect our house to be done. Building a house, Jerry will tell you, is a hard and long process. Jerry will soon will hopefully be in his new house that he's been building. But I'm sure he sat down before he built that house that he figured out what the cost would be so that he could finish that house and move into it. You know, when we go out in this world and we are Christians and only have a foundation, it's obvious. Yes, we're Christians, but people know that we ain't living the life that we should live. We ain't doing the things that we should be doing. They see that we're a Sunday morning Christian. That we say one thing and do something else. You got to understand the cross. You got to understand the cost of carrying that cross. You know, it was read earlier in Luke chapter 14, verse 34. It tells us this. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? What purpose? What good is it for? If the salt doesn't work, what do you use salt for? It's not good for anything. It is it's neither fit for the land nor the dunghill, but the man cast it out, and that it has. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what they did with salt back in the day that went bad? They put it on the streets. They put it on the roads. So it would be trampled on and walked on. It was good for nothing else. And if your Christian life, if you haven't understand the cost and you haven't put in the work that's required, because we just talked about the harvest is ready. And if we don't get out there and do the work for it, we are good for nothing. We have no value to Christ. You can come to church. You can say that you're a Christian. Salt is still salt, even when it's bad. You're still a Christian. But you're not good for anything unless you're doing the work. Unless you're out there making a difference in people's lives. Because that's our whole generation that we've been talking about, all these lessons. How can you impact others? How can you make a difference in their lives? Like we talked about this morning, not beating them up. How can you help them? How can they see Christ in you in your everyday life? One of the conversations we had this morning, we talked about Christians. Sometimes we beat them up with the word. I haven't seen anything in scriptures where Jesus went up and beat anybody over the head with the Bible. He healed them. He fed them. He took care of them. He provided for all their needs and he gave them the word. It's like the leopards, the 10 leopards. 9 of them went away, walked away, and never came back and praised God. But that one did. That one came back and said praises to him. And that's what we got to realize. We need to be able to make a difference in people's life. Because let me ask you something. What's the difference? If we're not being the salt and we're not being making a difference in people's life, what alternatives do we have? We're in the tragedy of being lost. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees put Jesus on the spot and says, you're eating with tax collectors and sinners. Why? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what Jesus told them, because it ain't me. Y'all know the story of the lost sheep that Jesus told. But let's read what he said in there. In Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7, Then all the tax collectors and the sinners draw near to him, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke the parable to them, saying, what man of you have 100 sheep? If he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home and calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just people who need no repentance. You know what this tells me? Jesus is going to do whatever it takes to come after those who are lost. He's going to do whatever it takes. If you're doing fine, and doing what is right, he's going to go after the one that's lost. And if we're supposed to walk with Jesus, how important do we need to realize the people out there who are lost? How much effort do we need to put in there? It's like we talked about this morning. When we're workers of the Lord, we're working every day, because the harvest is getting wider every day. And the workers are getting fewer and fewer. So we're going to lose harvest if we don't get to work. The value of somebody that's lost in Jesus' eyes, his heart is broken when he sees a sinner. Oh, what did I say earlier? Who are we? We're all sinners. None of us are any better than any of those out there if we don't understand Jesus. We have no good if we're not providing the things that they need. We need to let them know, hey, I got a treatment that will heal you. It's called Jesus. And I thought about this when we were talking about it in class. It came to me this morning. You know, the majority of you know that I go through cancer treatment every 4 weeks. I go to that facility and we're all sick. We all need that treatment. If I stop that treatment, it's probably not going to work well for me. And if you stop the treatment this morning of doing God's will, it's probably not going to work out well for you. So you got to understand we're all in the same boat and we all need that treatment. We all need what we're talking about this morning. And that's what Jesus was trying to put across. He didn't stop it there. The parable of the lost coin, he told right after that. Do we really care? Think about that statement for a second as I go through this portion. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, Jesus said, "Or what woman has 10 silver coins? Is she lose one of them, does not light a lamp, sweeps the house, searches carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I've lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Keep listening to that last part. There's joy in heaven of the repentance of one sinner. That's how much value that we have in Christ's eyes, that he don't want to see anyone lost. There's more value because there's what other option do we have? If we're not with Jesus, what is our fate? And that's what he's trying to put across. What is our fate if we do not have Jesus? It's not a good outcome. It's not a good outcome. We all know the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son is like most of us. We're just waiting for our inheritance. We see what we can get out of it. We go to our dad and say, "Hey, can I have my inheritance yet? I want it now. I need it. This is my money. I want it now," type of philosophy. And then you got the prodigal son who gets his father, gives into him and gives him all his money. And he goes, has a wonderful time. He spends it off, and he has all kinds of friends. Yeah, there's all kinds of people. He thinks he's living the life. There ain't no better life than the life he's living right then and there. Until that money runs out. What happens? When that money runs out, then he's where's his friends at? He ain't got no friends. The money was the friends. He ain't got nobody. Where's he sleeping and eating? He ain't got a roof over his head. He's sleeping with the pigs and eating the slop from the pigs. And then he finally goes, if I'm just a servant of my Father, I live a better life than I'm living right now. If I'm a servant of Christ, I live a better life than I live right now. And he realizes that if I just go back home and beg to be a servant, I'll have a roof over my head, I'll have food in my stomach, I'll be well taken care of, I'll live a whole lot better life, I'll have a better outcome than I have in the situation that I live. But look what happens in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. He got up one morning and said, all right, I'm going to go home and be a servant. It's got to be a whole lot better life than I'm living right now. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Tells me something. I'm a father, and most of us have kids in this room. If my child goes away, every day I'm looking at that door, looking for him. Every day I'm looking down that driveway and that road to see if he's coming. For the father to be able to see him from afar, that means he was looking. Because if he was tied up in his daily life, he wouldn't be seeing his son from afar. So it tells us that his father was looking for him every day. That's what Jesus does for us. When we're not doing what we're supposed to, for everyone that's out there who's not, Jesus is looking. That love story. What greater love story is that? As a father that's looking for his son. I'm waiting for you. I don't know what your situation that you're in today, but I want you to think about it. Where are you at today in your Christian life? Are you a worker? Or is God waiting on you? He will continue to wait however long it takes. But I want you, me personally, I've been doing it. I want you as a congregation to do it. I want you to do it as an individual. Where are you at in your work for the Lord? We talked about it this morning. Every morning that we wake up, we should be praying, Lord, what do you need from me today? Not waking up and doing our daily lives, going to work and going to the grocery store and calling our kids and doing everything we do on a daily basis and getting distracted. But we should be waking up and asking the Lord, what do you need out of me today? Don't let me miss those opportunities. Let's not be like the brother in Luke 15. Now his oldest son was in the field. He was working, doing his daily life. And that just tells me he wasn't looking, was he? He got caught up in his daily life. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music. That really tells me he was distracted in his daily life. Didn't even know there was a party going on. He heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come and become, because he has received him safe and sound, your father has kissed him and killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you and never transgressed your commandments and at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. You know, this whole thought process, this brother, can be us. That we're so busy in life that we're a part of, we know that we're Christians. We worry about not receiving our part when we think we should receive them. Not realizing and understanding the Father had lost the Son, and now He's safe, and He found Him. So how do we treat those out there? Do we go and live our daily life and come into church and do our thing and work in the field as we think we're working in the field and not seeing what's going on around us? Of all the lost souls that we interact every day with, that we can make an impact on, that we can make a difference to, that we can, we got a gospel meeting coming up. We have an opportunity to invite people to that gospel meeting to give them the word. That's our work. We can't make them believe or do anything. All we do is spread the seed. We do what we can to help them when they're in need. Show them the compassion of Christ. But do we just get tied up in our daily life? Are we going to walk out the door this morning from Sunday worship and think about, oh, what I got to do next week? What bills have I got to pay? What do I got to do at work? Are we already thinking about work? We're already thinking about what needs to be done for the week? Man, my grass is getting tall. I'm more focused on the daily problems in life and not realizing, hey, what's the Lord need from me this week? What's the Lord want from me this week? All the other stuff, you'll still get done. But there'll be opportunities that pop out through the week that you can make a difference if you're like the Father and looking for them. Not like the Son buried into His work. Didn't even hear the music. Didn't even hear the party that was going on. Didn't hear any of that because he's so focused on his daily life and not his Lord's daily life. We need to think about that, those things. Because let's go back to that verse that we kept popping up. In Luke chapter 15 is where I pulled this one from, verse 10. There is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, there's so much rejoicing going on when we were able to save that one life that the angels of heaven are celebrating. You know, at Christ's birth, there's a legion of angels that were there celebrating the birth of Christ. That's what goes on each and every time a soul is saved. They understand the value of that. The other thing that we got to understand, and we know this verse so very well, and John 3:16 and 17. The love story. The love story of God about you. About each and every one of you. Put your name into this. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son that whoever, if you believe in Him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn you, but to save you through Him. Because your name's in it. He knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head, or hair, every few hair on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows your aches and pains. He knows your struggles. He knows your sins. He knows where your difficulty is. There's not an aspect of His life that He does not want to be a part of and know about you. He doesn't hold anything back. You think about that. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that if you believe in Him, you shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn you, that you might be saved through Him. I don't know what you're struggling with, and I know that we're all in the same boat. I know that none of us are not without the need of Christ. There's not a soul in here that don't need the Son of Christ. So when you, whatever struggles you're going through, we have great elders, and you know I've said it before, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a righteous congregation availeth a lot as well. So when you have everybody praying for your needs and you realize and understand that you're not in this boat by yourself, we're all there. We can come through any struggles together. I want you to focus on a couple things this week before I turn this lesson over to you. Before you walk out this door this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what are you planning to do for Christ this week? And I put on your heart every morning that you pray, dear Lord, let me be that worker you need. Show me how I can make a difference in somebody's life. Let somebody see Christ in me. Every day. It's hard. Life gets busy. Life ties you up. Life brings so much worry and pain and struggles. But remember this. God will not put more on you than you can bear. You just need to understand that. So if there's anything that you can do for us, do for you this morning, so why don't you come now as we stand and sing.